You're listening to audio from the Church of Christ in Albany, Western Australia. If you'd like to know more about our church community, please head to coca.org.au. We trust that this week's sermon will be a blessing to you.
Today we come to the third part of our five-week series on the Lord's Prayer. And I've been calling this series On Earth as in Heaven. We've talked about how prayer represents that place between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of earth. And we've been looking at three questions: who, why, what, how, and when. Who do we pray to? Was the first question. We pray to God, our Father. Why do we pray? Because God has given us the responsibility to be a part of bringing his kingdom and his will to earth. We've talked about that for the last 2 weeks. And last week, we're reminded of Peter's description of the followers of Christ as being a royal priesthood. That's a pretty amazing statement, actually. And probably we don't understand it today in the same way as they would have done back when he said that. But as royal priests, we stand in the world, in this place where we are, and we speak to God on behalf of the people who are around us. And also as royal priests, as members of the kingdom of God, as citizens of the kingdom, we are able to pray for the people who are around us and to support them and to appeal to God on their behalf, particularly for those who can't speak on their own or don't want to speak to God on their own. We have a privilege of speaking to God for them. So the question today is, what do we pray for? Let's remind ourselves of the prayer. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 6, where, remember, Jesus had his disciples and friends and others gathered around him on the mountainside, and he was talking about a whole range of things. And he said, when you pray like this. He said, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And so we come today to the words, give us today our daily bread. Isn't this a great topic, right? We've just started had a week of fasting, and now we're going to say, give us today our daily bread. So that's a great topic for today. When we pray, I would suggest that most of the time, we pray about something that we want. You know, we come to pray, Lord, you know, do this or do that or look after this or whatever. We do lots of requests when we pray. We often come with a shopping list of stuff that we want or that we need. But in this model prayer that Jesus taught, there's actually only one thing that represents a physical need. So he's talked about a whole range of things, but there's only one thing that represents a physical need, and that's our daily bread. So that's a bit of a tricky one. Why was that there? Well, when I don't understand something like this that Jesus has said, what I do is then I go to say, well, what else did Jesus say on this topic? And I also like to stay within the same book or the same writer, just to get a pattern of what's going on. And so that led me immediately to Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46. And Jesus was sitting with his disciples one day. Again, here he is. He did that a lot, didn't he? We like to think that we should be out there, you know, training people, but Jesus just sat with his people. He just sat and chatted, and they sat and they listened. There's an awful lot of that going on. That's what discipleship is, sitting and listening to Jesus and learning from him. And he made this rather stunning statement on one day. He said, the Son of Man comes in his glory, surrounded by angels, and all the nations are standing before him. So he set the scene for a momentous event, which sounds like the end times. Remember, it is just a story. It's not a prophecy. Well, maybe it is. That's the interesting thing about Jesus' stories, isn't it? We read them and we're not quite sure, is that just a story or is that, what is it? Well, anyway, we go on. The listeners love a story. They loved hearing Jesus' stories. They come on, tell us more. Well, there's this king, Jesus explains. in all his glory, surrounded by the angels, and all the nations of the world are standing before him. And the king starts to separate people. He says, like a shepherd would separate the sheep and the goats. So the sheep over on this side, the goats on that side. And you're the sheep over there, you're the goats over there, you're the sheep over there, you're the goats over there. Disciples are looking at each other and saying, wonder how he made that decision. How does he decide who are the sheep and who are the goats? Probably the Jews on the right and the goats on the left. I bet that's what it is. Or maybe the Protestants on one side and Catholics on the other, or the Dockers on one side of the eagle, well, the other way around, I don't know. It was pretty confusing. But anyway, Jesus was telling this story. And he goes on, and the king turns to all those on his right and he says, well done, my father has blessed you. And then he adds, you can inherit the kingdom that was prepared before the creation of the world, for I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Well, the listeners are really interested now. They want to know more about where he's going with this. Well, Jesus goes on and he says, well, the people asked the question, when did all this happen? I don't remember you being hungry and us going and feeding you. I don't remember a time when you were thirsty. I'm sure if you were, we would have given you a drink. We don't remember what you're talking about. And Jesus said, the king said to the people, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you're doing it to me. Remember, the story started off by saying the king had all the world in front of him. So he's pointing around and saying, the least of these, my brothers and sisters, no one in particular, but that's a fairly broad statement. Well, the disciples are really interested. They are hanging on to the edges of their seat, wondering where he's going to go with the story. So what happened then, Jesus? What about the people on the left side, the goat people? What happened to them? Well, said Jesus, the king turned to them and said, you've got an eternal fire prepared for you, because when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me a drink. When I was a stranger, you didn't invite me into your home. When I was naked, you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me. And of course, again, they came back and they said, well, when did all of this happen? I can't remember seeing you hungry and us refusing to feed you. I'm sure that if we'd seen you thirsty, we would have given you a drink. And anyway, when were you in prison? And the group who are listening to Jesus' story, I think they're having a good old laugh now, because this story has got really funny, really different. They don't know quite know where it's going. And so what did the king now say to the goat people? Well, Jesus goes on. King answers like this. He says, I tell you the truth, when you refused to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Wow, that messes with our theology, doesn't it? That's a little bit of homework for you to go back and have a look at that and see what was Jesus saying that, and discover how inextricably connected that is to grace. But it's confusing to us. The group were sitting listening to Jesus. They're not laughing now, because there's something going on that they really want to know more about. They're sitting quietly just thinking about what Jesus might be saying. Give us today our daily bread. For us, I guess our daily bread is all of those things that Jesus spoke about. We may pray, Lord, when I'm hungry, I pray that there will be enough to eat. When I'm thirsty, I hope that I can pay the water bill. If ever I'm in a place where I'm a stranger, I hope that there'll be somebody who'll come and look after me and care for me. When I'm cold, I hope that there'll be some warm clothes available for me to get to keep warm, that I can afford to pay the heating bill. If I'm sick, I'll trust that there'll be some good health care around. And if I get into trouble for some reason, I hope that I won't get forgotten and lost in prison. give us today, our daily bread. So over the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of earth, that we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, but we also find ourselves here on earth. And prayer is, as I said over the last couple of weeks, it's that thin place, that porous place between heaven and earth where the two connect. And we stand in the gap between heaven and earth as a holy priesthood. And as we pray today, give us today our daily bread. Perhaps Jesus is saying, what does the kingdom of God look like in the world in which you are living today? If the kingdom of heaven is that close to the kingdom of this world, and I want God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, what does that mean in relation to give us today our daily bread? There's lots of churches in Albany. Many of them are much the same as each other. When we first came here last year, we've travelled around, visited quite a few churches, and there's actually not a lot of difference between us all in many ways. But one of the things I think that's bothered me about churches for a long time is that we actually spend a lot of energy on what we do on Sunday morning, and sometimes we don't see each other again for another week. And I wonder if sometimes Jesus is reminding us in this story that the church is something much bigger than just coming here on Sunday morning. That if followers of Jesus were serious about addressing the basic needs of people, food, clothing, health, shelter, safety and security, these people would be actually much more willing to hear the good news of Jesus and respond to it than if we simply sat here and hoped to goodness that they would turn up on Sunday morning. And I wonder perhaps, this is just me speaking, I might be absolutely wrong here, but I wonder if perhaps we're looking for a senior pastor who will be a great preacher, who'll fill this business building every Sunday. Or should we be looking for someone who'll lead us actually out of the church into the community? As I said before, for my prayer and fasting this week, we gave up lunch and I went for a walk. And I find myself every day in Yakamaya Forest. And one day I'm walking along and I heard this noise behind me. It was almost like there was a car coming up the track behind me. And I turned around, suddenly realised it was the wind blowing through the canopy of the trees above. Quite a roar. It made me think about the Holy Spirit as wind. The Greek word for spirit is pneuma, which could also be wind or breath. And as the Holy Spirit blows through the church, he doesn't stay here. He blows through the church and through the other churches in our community and out into the community. Because the purpose of the Spirit is to bring people to Jesus. And the Spirit invites us to partner with him, to be a partner with him as he seeks to make people aware of Jesus, to bring the kingdom of God to earth and that his will may be done in Albany as it is in heaven. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is heaven. Give us today our daily bread. You know, we've got a great church here. We've got people here who do all of those things that Jesus talked about. We've got people here who are involved in health care and mental health and transport and homelessness and prisons and street chaplaincy. We've got people doing all of those things. But I kind of wonder if we would be able to do that even better if each one of us knew deeply that this whole church was absolutely behind us in prayer and support and that we were doing this as a whole church. What would happen if this church building was a hub for a community? That's how it started, I believe. That's how this got built in the first place, to be a community hub. I wonder if it's time for us to reimagine what that might look like. I had an imagination this morning that we have a big map of Albany out in the foyer, an interactive map that actually shows where the Holy Spirit is at work in Albany with all of the people who are here and the different things that are happening. wouldn't that be great if you come in and you actually notice it's moved, that there's all of these things telling us the Holy Spirit is at work in our community and we're a part of that. We are partners with the Spirit in serving Jesus wherever we are. Wonder what would happen if there was a natural disaster, a flood or a fire. Would we be the first ones to put up a hand and say, this building is available here as a place of safety and security for our community? Wonder what would happen if this place was available once a week for a meal, that people would come here to get a meal, the only time in the week that they could get a good meal, and they would come here and they'd see the people of God loving them. Wonder what would happen if from time to time we had a community hub here where people could come and they could discover the services that are available in the community, NDIS and Centrelink and housing, and they could see a doctor, get a heart check, all of those other things. What are the possibilities of all that happening? Australia is the fifth richest country in the world by GDP per capita. And we've got a beautiful building here on a large plot of land. And I suspect that most of us don't need to pray, give us today our daily bread, because there's enough food in the pantry already. So what is this all about? Why did Jesus ask us to pray that prayer? Perhaps that prayer is not just for us. Perhaps that prayer is for those people whose lives will be transformed when the people of God seek to serve our community. We seek to serve Jesus, to be a part of what Jesus is calling us to do in bringing his kingdom to earth and his will to be done on earth. I've got some homework for you today. Again, thank you for those who've been doing it. And a few people have contacted me to say that you've been doing it. That's been great. And a few people have also said they couldn't get the notes down quick enough. And so out where the name tags are, there's some sheets of paper. There's only about 20 of them. But if you want to get that, I've got some notes from the last 2 weeks and today. So the question today that I'd like to invite you to do is when you go home, and I know some of you have said you've been doing this in your home groups as well. As you look at the wider community of Albany, where do you notice people in need of food, shelter, support, or friendship? And where do we notice the Holy Spirit already at work? I think this is a really important part of how do we discover the will of God? I think we have to ask, where is the Spirit at work? What's the Spirit doing? And I just want to be with the Spirit. I want to be a partner with him, not to work on our own separately. Where do you sense pain or isolation? Who's being left out, overlooked, or excluded in your community? Where might God be calling us to act? I want to put that to you to do a bit of work on that during this week and reflect on what Jesus might have been saying when he said, give us today our daily bread. We pray. Father God, thank you for this very special time that you have given us to give up something in order that we might pray. Thank you that you have brought us to a time such as this to hear your voice. And maybe you're challenging us in areas that we are uncomfortable with or areas that we find difficult. But Lord, we just want to be open to hear what you're saying and to discover what it means when you call us to serve you. Father, we pray that we may be partners with the Holy Spirit in the ministry that you have called us to, that we may see your kingdom come and your will be done in Albany and in this church as in heaven. For Jesus' sake, amen.